You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Monster House presents.
Monster Talk is proud to be a part of the Airwave Media family, home of such shows as Fork in the Road, Small Things Often, and Therapist Uncensored. If you'd like to advertise on this show, contact sales at advertisecast.com. You can enjoy extended commercial-free versions of this show by joining us at patreon.com/monstertalk, all one word, M-O-N-S-T-E-R-T-A-L-K. For as little as $2 a month, you can enjoy longer interviews, unbleeped language, and bonus episodes exclusive for patrons. And if $2 a month is not workable for you, but you still want to help out, be sure and leave us a positive review on your podcasting platform of choice. iTunes reviews in particular can help bring in new listeners, and your positive reviews really make a difference. If you want to learn other ways to help out, visit monstertalk.org/support, where you can find even more ways to help keep this show going. Thank you to all of you who are supporting us with your hard-earned money and valuable time. We are humbled and grateful and hope that we always live up to or even exceed your expectations.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
Hey, what follows is our last episode of 2023 for our patron listeners and the first episode of 2024 for our regular feed listeners. It can be challenging to book guests during the end of the year holiday, so we decided to talk about a few news stories from 2023 that we felt were Monster Talk topics, or at least monster adjacent. And we complain and critique the media a lot on the show, largely around of how it covers topics like the ones we're touching on today. But listeners will recall that one of my mantras on this show is that in the world of cryptozoology, you can see the full spectrum of human belief writ small. Well, similarly, I would say that in critiquing paranormal news coverage, you can also see the shortcomings of journalism writ small here as well. But here's the thing. It might be somebody's job to try and fix what's broken in journalism. The whole field's being challenged by issues far bigger than whether or not they should stop doing whimsical takes on the paranormal or cryptozoological. But none of us is in a position to fix these shortcomings. Yet, we're all in a position to train ourselves to be more critical media consumers. I hope the things we discuss on our show will help you stop and consider all the ways that bias, tone, sensationalism, clickbait, and other journalistic perils can be detected and accounted for by training yourself to be critical media consumers. So what follows is a lighthearted look at a tiny subset of the weird news from 2023. And one more note, the day before we recorded this, I adjusted the gain on my microphone and I did not get it set back properly. I've done my best to normalize, but I do sound like I'm recording from a 1978 CB radio. But I do wish to convoy my deepest apologies, and as we keep on trucking into 2024, I will try to do better going forward.
Monster Talk.
Here we are for the final Monster Talk for 2023.
And what a great opportunity to look back at the news stories that we didn't cover, because that's not what our show does.
Well, yeah, there are just too many, I think, to cover. But we're joined by Matt Baxter again.
Happy New Year.
Greetings.
Happy New Year. Yeah, a couple of hours to go still.
I start saying Happy New Year as soon as we get past Christmas here.
So do I. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, as you said, that we're going to look at some cryptid cases for this year. And it seems like there's something new every day. It would be difficult to keep up with all of them.
You know, the big reason I think we don't try to be a news service, like a monster news thing, is because sometimes the stories are super low quality and you sort of can like summarize them in 2 minutes or figure them out really quick. And it's unusual that one will really be a game changer. Yeah. Worthy of a deep dive, you know? And when they do become worthy of deep dives, that's what we do. So, but it is fun to look at these stories. And some of these are, not all these are monsters, but they're all weirdly, they're weird. It's like the weird in review.
Yeah, and some are flimsy, that's for sure.
Some?
Okay, all of them. Let's get this kind of very, I guess, flimsy story out of the way, Blake, one that you'd heard about. Matt, not sure how familiar you are with this one, but the humanoid creature discovered in Nigeria.
Yeah.
So this goes back to February 2. I'm finding this interesting. There was a lot of activity, cryptid activity and just strange paranormal activity in February of this year. So there's very little information on this humanoid creature in Nigeria. So as we often find with these kinds of stories, it wasn't reported in scientific literature, but on TikTok and Coast to Coast AM
best
as well.
Place to get your news.
Exactly. And so this creature was spotted on a rooftop and the location isn't mentioned. We're just told that this was a community somewhere in Nigeria. So we're not given any specifics at all. And so some people said this creature crash landed on the roof, which makes me think that there could be some kind of UFO kind of story behind this.
I saw a lot of people talking about it as though it was an alien. That was interesting.
Well, alien, I didn't read anything about aliens, but crash landing sounds like it's some kind of alien story.
Yeah.
But most people said that this looked like a humanoid creature that was half man and half animal, possibly the head of a horse.
I would say more like an eighth horse. Because a whole lot of it was human.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you have a look. So this creature was spotted on a rooftop and you have this gathering of people. And a lot of the reports said that they were baffled. I'm not too sure because one of the videos I saw, it looked like they were kind of laughing. And I guess what else is there to do in a tiny little community? But to, I guess, gather around something strange like this, someone being on a roof, I think in and of itself is kind of weird. But that this creature's kind of going down the roof, sliding down the roof. And to me, it does look like a man wearing a headscarf or maybe a mask. If you look at people in the audience too, a lot of them are wearing headscarves. So I think it could be just a headscarf that blends in with the color of the roof and the background. So I don't think it's terribly interesting, although at the time it was a big story on TikTok and Coast to Coast.
It's been a little bit since I looked at the video, but it seemed to me that the people in the crowd were much more sharp than the actual being coming down the slope of the roof. He looked a lot more pixelated.
Yeah, he was kind of blurry. It was difficult to see what you were looking at.
Yeah, and even if that was taken with a cell phone or whatever, it just seems like it could have been a little better quality. When cell phones you have to zoom in really far on cell phones, they don't lose quality like that. That looks more like something that's been reproduced online.
Affected.
It's been downscaled and everything. So,
I mean, guess is that it was a man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it looks very much like a suit. Super baggy. Like the skin would be very, very baggy, you know, but it does look like it's very brown, matches the roof, you know, it does
matches the roof really well.
Yeah. But not like in a predator totally kind of way. it's just
right.
Yeah.
It's,
not camouflage.
Yeah,
no.
It just seems
not
to be,
advanced technology.
Yeah. And I mean, there was a time in the mid 2000s when a lot of these stories were coming out of Africa. And Africa is a continent, not a country, just a little reminder, but it's lots of different cultures have now, you know, they, especially in Africa, they have a lot of cultures with masks and costume is, you know, and so it's real easy to take something that is a well understood public thing and then repurposing it to play on the ignorance of outsiders like me. Americans, look at this bizarre thing from another country. You can't understand what the people are saying because you don't speak their language. And we're going to tell you it's a monster and not a local villager having some fun. Right? You know, so
I think,
having said that too, there's a lot of superstition there, particularly in Nigeria. And so there's a possibility because the story did come out of Nigeria too. So it was being reported from there. So it could be. Maybe it's like a kind of wacky news story. We don't know quite what it is, and more is being made of it than there really is. But it's certainly human in origin.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we don't know. With this coming out of Nigeria, with all the people gathering around the way they were, could this have been the Nigerian prince? And he was finally distributing that money.
I think that's probably what it was.
That's a really good guess. Yeah, let's go with that. Well, moving on, Matt, do you want to talk about maybe one of the biggest stories this year, the Colorado Bigfoot?
Biggerfoot, yes. Yeah. Blake and I were lucky enough to get to jump on this one and do a quick YouTube video on it. So if you go to our YouTube channel, you can actually see the little report we did on it. But what, you know, there was a couple of people on a train between Silverton and Durango. They probably about four people, maybe on an entire train of people saw Bigfoot sitting out in the sticks up against the slope of the mountain and did not alert everybody else on the train for some reason. Now the footage is interesting when you look at it and see it and you're like, Bigfoot is hard to see. I can see the guy in the ghillie suit, but it's hard to see Bigfoot.
Yeah,
no, but it does, there are moments that it looks like Bigfoot a little bit, but it's a guy
until you see the sunglasses.
Which is the image that the New York Post put on their front page, or you know, of the article, I guess.
Push the Bigfoot story. Yeah. I mean, it's not unlike the guy in Nigeria on the roof, really, the way he's kind of sitting on the mountain.
Yeah. But I don't think it's outrageous to think that Bigfoot's eyes don't get a little squinty at the sun as well.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he found a pair of sunnies and he put them on. And yeah, that's fair enough.
I think
good
so.
Good a theory as any.
It is. It truly is. But so yeah, but basically it's another one of those stories, probably one of the more compelling ones and yet flimsy as can be. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you look around the evidence at the, you know, nobody on the train made any stink about it, you know, and yet they filmed all the, you know, took all these pictures and filmed all this video of him walking around. And yet nobody was alerted in the, you know, I mean, if it was truly Bigfoot, I think they might have even stopped the train. And, you know, notoriously from, you know, old movies, we know that trains are very difficult to stop. But
that's right.
Well, I will say, too, on a lot of those railroad trips around Colorado, we've been on a few of them with a boy who's an aficionado of trains. They often have Bigfoot cardboard cutouts just for fun and little kind of statues and things like that. So when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, it's one of those. But no, it's it's a little different, but still within the same realm of normal.
Well, yes. I haven't done a formal study, but I've been taking a lot of pictures where I see people with Bigfoot images on their vehicles. And it feels to some extent, Bigfoot has become kind of a totem or an icon of, you know, back to nature or, you know, the natural
spirit animal
and masculinity, you know, a couple of concepts there.
And beer
and jerky and all those, the commercialization as well. But I too, we have, I see them all over the place where people are getting, you know, life size or near life size Bigfoot cutouts and figures and, you know, leaving them in their yards or barely hidden in the woods. So, it's becoming
to scare away the crows, maybe like an owl.
Attracting the rednecks, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You're right. It is very iconic now, that image. Not even so much the Patterson Gimlin one, but a kind of stylized version of
it
that
is.
On t-shirts.
It's quite literally become an icon.
Bumper stickers. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a garden shop not too far from Karen and I here, and they have what would be a life-size statue. It looks like it's, you know, a sort of a cement kind of, you know, sculpture of Bigfoot. And, you know, and I've seen small versions of it. I've seen bigger version, you know. But this one is like what life-size would be of a Bigfoot.
Concrete evidence.
And
7-8 feet.
Concrete evidence. And they're selling it. You know, I mean, it's people are buying it is really what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what are they doing with those?
Yeah, it's like those wood carvings when you go up to Bigfoot country in California too. You'll see a lot of Bigfoot carvings and bear carvings and that.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. It's real.
Often made out of logs or trees, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. 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 But it's certainly very popular culturally around the country.
Such a big idea. One might almost say mythic in its proportions. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, what's next? I still got more on our list.
I want to hear more about Rat Boy.
Rat Boy. This is I don't even know how to describe it. I guess a donation to a museum in Indiana, the Wayne County Historical Museum. So they received an unusual package that someone had left no information to say to identify the donor in any way. And yeah, they looked, checked their security camera footage and they just couldn't find anything. So this thing appeared. It was a package and they call it the Richmond Rat Boy now. And it is, I don't know, go and Google it if you haven't heard of it. It's very reminiscent to me of the Fiji mermaid. So the claim is that there was a note that came with a donation saying that this was a gift that someone had who'd worked for a circus that had frequented the area in the 1920s or the 1930s. But it seems like it's made out of plaster of Paris and clay, and it's got kind of animal claws and animal hair pasted onto it. Some people think it looks more like a pig than a rat, or it looks like a little boy. So it's very strange. Definitely go Google it, take a look at it. And it's, I guess they've got lots of kitschy things at this museum already, so they decided to adopt it and they have it on display. I think there's some claims too that it might contain some bad juju. It looks like it needs to be blessed or something like that, because it's just got a very creepy look to it. But
well, it's nice that they gave it to a museum instead of the Newkirks. So
yeah,
or the Zaphises or any of those.
But it does look like a classic circus gaffe.
And you've just summed up everything I just said in two words. That's exactly what it looks like. But it does look like it's old. I mean, it could have been aged, but it does look like it's something that's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And that's from the pictures.
And I think those circus guests, especially if they can get provenance for it, I mean, they do have some historical significance, even if they're not real. That, you know, there was a time they have a cultural significance that's appropriate for a museum. But we've had on guests to talk about the structure of Fiji mermaids, how they were put together, Jenny Hanover's, that sort of thing. And I don't know why I never thought of it before, but with this story today, it suddenly occurred to me that they might be called gaffes. That's just what they call them. But I thought maybe it's because they have, if you'll pardon the French pun, faux paws.
But so it's an interesting looking thing. I think it'd be fun. Add this to the bucket list of things to go and see. But yeah, this goes back to May of this year, and yeah, people are still talking about it. So it's definitely an odd story, but not a cryptid, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree. What do you think next?
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Each week on Chinwag, we dig into the weird topics you wonder about, that you care about, the stuff none of us are totally sure of, like the Bermuda Triangle, Mothman, consciousness, philosophy, UFOs, ghosts, or, say, Bigfoot.
So who's to say that there's not alien species that are Sasquatch?
Like, I've seen a ghost, and I would hear something walking and breathing.
Maybe every path is right. I will accept as a premise that every path is right.
That is a face on Mars. Eyes, nose, it kind of looked like Wilson the volleyball.
Some people enjoy the waves or whatever crashing, and I enjoy listening to a quantum physics audiobook.
I do think there are many things in the world that we just don't understand and probably won't understand.
That's our whole show.
So join us every Wednesday on all major podcast platforms and find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at ChinwagPod and Wagon.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
Thing done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
So how about, Matt, do you want to talk about Champ?
If you're just glancing at Champlain, it looks a lot like Cumplain, and I have to complain about this one. It's basically what happened is somebody was on a boat, Lake Champlain. Mm-hmm. They had their little, fish radar.
Sonar.
And sonar. Thank you. Sonar, yes. And you would know more than most. Nothing else in your history.
Like some of the Loch Ness sightings as well, then.
Well, and here's what's, a little, played about all of it is we know where the imagery for the Loch Ness monster came from. It's kind of, well, because of that.
The
surgeon's photo. And then
King Kong.
The original King Kong movie. This is the same thing. It's they're looking at this like, okay, plesiosaur is the answer. But this doesn't even look like a good plesiosaur, to be honest. You look at the sonar, and yes, if you're thinking, lake monster, then you can kind of see what it is, but you have no idea of scale. So you don't know how close it is, how far away it is. You don't really know exactly. I don't know. Blake, when you were in the service.
Yeah, sorry. I have none now that I think about it. All we used was the radar for surface boating. So, but I sure could find a buoy when I needed to.
I just wasn't sure if with that, a little bit of knowledge you've got there, how dangerous you would be looking at a photo of this the sonar image, and because I know that the different colors mean probably different densities
exactly.
Like that. But does it say anything about distance? Does it say anything about
It's going to depend on the display, and I kind of wondered honestly if this one might have had some information
enhanced
along those lines that got cropped out.
So yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because I would have thought there would have been something there that would have given us a little more to go on. So we have no scale. We don't know, whatever this thing is it static? Is it like, maybe even a structure of some kind in the, you know, like, you know, are there little hills and stuff like that in under the water there? I don't know if it's just a flat bottom of a lake or if there's any, you know, anything there, but, you know, plants, I mean, we just don't know. But the thing is if it is a creature, which direction is it going? Because once you look at it that way, you know, it takes on a completely different look, yeah. You know, if it's something moving the opposite direction. And we just don't know. So, because, you know, the head and neck could be a tail. And it could be, you know, a really big spermatozoa. We just don't know.
People never think of that.
They never do. And it's so obvious right in front of our eyes.
It's a blob, you know. I mean, sonar, mm-hmm. like, I mean, you can sometimes see things that are pretty clear, like ship hulls, that, you know, that kind of thing,
right.
Sunken vessels, mm-hmm. you know. You can kind of tell when there's underwater terrain. But this is just a colorful mm-hmm. blob, and without more information about how it was captured, it doesn't tell us much. Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to go and look and see what does a shark look like on sonar? You know, I know there's plenty of images online. I should take a look and see if just how defined it is, because this just does not seem convincing or thick or dense or whatever. So I'm suspicious. You know.
Yeah.
I assume this would just count as pareidolia, except that you're not seeing a human. You're not seeing Jesus on toast. You're seeing.
See whatever you want to see.
Something kind of like maybe a monster, but I mean, there's so many different features on here. You know, I don't know. It looks like someone trying to spot a plesiosaur in a blob of clearly ambiguous data. So,
yes.
Oh, well, moving on, should we go back to UFOs, Blake?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this has been a huge year. For, you know, UFOs, obviously disclosure revealed that the government knew all about UFOs and the aliens that had been. Wait, that's not what happened.
Sorry. I knew it.
Sorry. In July, this was one of those really great stories for the UFO community where they finally get a hearing before Congress for the first time. You know, the government. Wait, it's not even the first time. Damn it. So once again, a group of people managed to get with Congress to talk about this question of, are we being visited? And this time there was some really dramatic testimony by a guy named David Grush, who was an Air Force personnel and former intel person. And
wasn't he in the Foo Fighters?
That's so Ouroboros, the way that laps around with Foo Fighters and UFOs. Mm-hmm. Wow. So David Grush has now become sort of a household name for UFO and UAP enthusiasts in the term non-human biologics. And
it's sounding so technical now, all this UAP. And
it really does. But ultimately, I would sum up this story as guy who works for government heard stories about UFOs from people who told him in confidence that they're real, but provided no evidence. So I heard a cool story. Let me tell Congress about it. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And until I see a body or, you know, some better documentation, that's all this was. So.
Well, and can we back off here for a second on this whole non-human biologics and clarify that non-human only means that it's non-human, not non-earthly.
What are you saying? What are we shooting dogs and monkeys into space? Come on, man. That never happens.
or you know, mosquitoes or, you know, it's just the thing is that anything not human, which is most of what's on Earth, is going to be non-human biologics. I don't know. It just seems like they made it sound like it was really, you know, astral astrological. No, astronomical. That's a word.
Let's be honest here that, you know,
why start now?
Grush is tied in to that same network of people who have been pushing the Skinwalker Ranch, and underneath the UFO, scrape it off and you'll find, you know, sort of quasi theosophical consciousness studies. That's what's really going on here. This is about the world is way weirder and more mysterious and the government knows, you know, So we just need to prove it so that we can, you know, change the conversation, which is why, you know, Pasulka's out there writing books about this being a new religion. It is a new religion. You know, it is. It's I don't know how new it's
definitely
it,
parallel.
I was gonna say it's not even that new.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this has been going on since the Theosophists, you know, hooked into the UFO world in the '50s. So it's the same message. You can repackage it how you want, but some people want the world to be magical and they're willing to like do whatever they can, and using the government and having this hearing as a way to like bolster and anchor your story in the sort of what was it that Laycock called it? It's this sort of narrative anchoring for plausibility. Laycock called it Trent's textual anchoring. But this anchoring, it's absolutely, that's why they wanted this hearing. Because as soon as you get a hearing in the public, it's for many people, that's the same as the accepted government acknowledging that it's absolutely true.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think this is something that's going to be ongoing, as you said, it's been around for quite some time. And I think speaking of things that are ongoing and have been around for quite some time, and also speaking of, like you referred to, wanting to see a body or something like that, I wanted to raise the Tasmanian tiger or Tasmanian wolf or the thylacine,
whatever
you want to call the creature. So believed to be extinct since 1936. Sadly, the last one that we have evidence for died in a zoo in Hobart, Tasmania, back in 1936. But, of course, there are people who believe that they're not extinct. They're still around. And there are theories, even from some scientists, that they may have survived into the 1980s or 1990s or even the early 2000s. And, of course, now there's lots of talk of cloning them, but that's extremely expensive and complicated. So we'll have to keep an eye on all these kinds of stories. But there have been a number of sightings of the thylacine this year. So every year, but certainly this year, a lot of them. And a lot of them were publicized by a group called the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia. So
I'm sorry.
Sounds very scientific and technical.
Yeah, it reminds me of those other groups like TIGAR that keeps wanting to find the wreckage of Amelia Earhart. It's like, and so they have their own narrative, and so they keep looking for evidence to support their narrative. You know, it's like if a group is created just to prove a thing is true, you just know they're going to be really struggling with all the kind of biases. Well, maybe they won't be struggling because they're not worried about it. But everybody who wants to evaluate their material needs to be aware of the amount of inherent biases built in for people who have an agenda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So like this awareness group, this is the group to whom all of the people who have sightings go to. And if you want to check out some of the sightings that have been reported, you can go to YouTube and look those up. But there was a recent sighting in September, and this was Kakadu National Park, which isn't in Tasmania. It's actually in the Northern Territory. So there aren't too many sightings of thylacines out that away. Usually they tend to be coastal around the East Coast and certainly in Tasmania, the majority of them. But this one was in Kakadu. And it's one of the largest national parks in Australia, maybe a couple of hundred kilometres away from Darwin. And so early one evening, there was a woman who was just travelling around the country, and she's going through the park with her two dogs, and she spots a thylacine. So she reports it to the Thylacine Awareness Group, and there was a big to-do about this, a lot of interest in this particular sighting. And so because she had dogs and because she'd traveled around the country and seen lots of dingoes, it was said, well, she knew what a thylacine was compared to a dingo compared to a dog. So that was kind of the argument. So she said it's not a dingo. She said it wasn't a dog, wasn't a dingo. And it was kind of a skinny creature. And if you go and check out some of the interviews with her too, it really feels like she's being led along. Oh, so you saw it had these bands and it had these stripes, right? And she's like, yeah, yeah. So I think she's kind of led into believing that she saw something different. But it just, from what I've seen, now again, we have no photographs, no body, no footage. This is just another sighting. And I think she probably saw a dingo And it might have been a malnourished one as well, because sometimes they can have that look of being drawn and it might look like bent around the body. So maybe it was a hungry dingo. And that's just me speculating, but I think it's more likely that it was a dingo or a dog than a thylacine, sadly.
Yeah. Well, I know the thylacine is interesting because it's a marsupial, or it was marsupial, and it mm-hmm. fits. It's a beautiful example of convergent evolution, where you have this animal that sort of fits the niche of a wolf or a fox, you know, or a canid, but it isn't a canid. It's mm-hmm. a marsupial. And so when competitors are introduced, like the dingo and the dogs mm-hmm. and the foxes, they're going to be very, very competitive, and especially considering that the Europeans who showed up there, you know, really encouraged the lives of the foxes and the dingoes and the dogs, and hated mm-hmm. and put a bounty on the thylacines. So,
yeah, they were hunted for their pelts, and there weren't very many of them really, even going back to the 1800s, late 1800s. There were only a population of only about 5,000 of them. So they were killed off pretty quickly. It's very sad, but it'll be interesting to watch and see what happens in terms of cloning and what science.
I would love to find out. I mean, I know there's, you know, all the horror stories aside, I think, you know, these experiments in cloning, which we haven't talked to anybody about that in a while. It's been more than a decade, I think, since Yeah, whether it's the mammoth or the thylacine or the Carolina parakeet or the carrier pigeon, there's so many species that we've wiped out and have, you know, some DNA that we could use, that I'd like to see what would happen if we did bring them back. You know, that would be really interesting.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, you're messing with the natural order.
I won't stop to wonder whether we should. I just want to see what happens. I want to see Jeff Goldblum running from parakeets. That's
okay. I'm on board.
Me too.
So this is a shocker, and the other big shocker is that we said the word dingo I don't know how many times and didn't throw in the word baby. So I'm really proud of us for that.
Well, we've come a long way, dingo.
Okay, this show is over.
Hey, do we want to say
conversation
anything
stopper
about how our year went in 2023? Did we have any big accomplishments we're proud of? How did Monster Talk fare throughout the year of 2023?
Wow, we did. You've asked me, and I didn't prepare. Didn't we cross, like, are we like at 7 million downloads now? It's a big number.
You know, Blake, you said 9 million.
Maybe it was 9 million. Crossed 9 million. That's right. Yeah, we've crossed 9 million downloads. Sorry.
Wow.
Of course, we've gone to a weekly format as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of changes for Monster Talk with shorter episodes, and we've had good feedback about that too. People love the deep dives, but they also like the shorter bites of Monster Talk.
Right. And that's weekly, as in W-E-E-K.
That's right.
Correct.
The shows are still very strong.
Week. Thank you for clarifying.
It's important, though, because I think some of our topics do deserve a deep dive. And I think being able to split those into a couple of episodes has worked well, because I think it suits I tend to have a preference for long form, but I know that the audiences typically, our research suggests the audiences prefer the 30-minute format. So I hope we're able to meet both needs well. And that's a really good question. So let us know what you think. But it certainly seems to be working well. We've, you know, the advertisers, we're in our second year of doing advertising. The whole industry as a whole is redundant, me saying it that way. But anyway, it's struggling because I think last year Spotify dumped so much cash into podcasting, and now it's turned out that that was a dumb idea, and which is causing a lot of confusion among advertisers. So if you are enjoying the show on the free feed and you're using the advertising, please do click or, you know, use the things and try the codes and support our advertisers, because we really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And if you hate the advertising and like extra content, I have to remind you that our Patreon is there. And man, if we could do anything in 2024, I would love it if we could get our Patreon content up to 2,000 a month. That would be life-changing for both Karen's family and mine. It would just be wonderful.
It would, and we really do appreciate the support, and we put a
Absolutely.
Lot of effort and research into the show. So yeah, we appreciate our listeners, and we do love to hear from you as well with your ideas and feedback, comments.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. And we look forward to 2024 with hope and you know, just it really.
And monsters.
And we were hoping that 2024 is a, you know, prosperous and pain-free, wonderful year. I've got a lot of anxiety around politics in America, but you won't find it on Monster Talk. We're not going to be doing that here. So if you need to get away from all that
except
stuff,
for that.
2024, come here, because I will not be talking about it.
Except for that, yeah.
Yeah. That was it. That was the politics for next year.
Well, thank you for checking in, everyone, and Happy New Year. And we're really excited about what we're going to bring to the show for 2024.
That's right. Wishing you peace and good fortune, health and prosperity. Hang in there. It's going to be okay.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
You just heard our end of 2023 weird story roundup. We've got lots of interesting things lined up already for 2024 and look forward to providing you with a safe space for critical thinking and a hopefully politics-free zone during the upcoming United States election cycle. From the Monster Talk family, we wish you all a prosperous and healthy 2024 and hope that you can add your voice to the chorus of reason for this coming year. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Monster Talk. Each episode, we strive to bring you the very best in monster-related content with a focus on bringing scientific skepticism into the conversation. If you enjoy Monster Talk, we now have a variety of ways to support the show, all with convenient links at monstertalk.org/support. That's monstertalk.org/support. We have links there to our Patreon page as well as a donation button. Another great way to support the show is to buy books from our Amazon Monster Talk wish list, which directly helps us with our research. We love used books very much, so don't feel compelled to buy new ones, and we love Kindle so we can share our digital libraries with each other. And finally, without spending any money at all, you can support us by leaving a positive review at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive reviews help keep us visible in iTunes, which is a great way to help us find new listeners. And please share our show on your favorite social media platforms. Monster Talk theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys. As always, thank you for making Monster Talk a part of your listening life.
Been a Monster House presentation.